Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. Now, here's your host, CJ.
Hi, I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fire It Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Today on Fire It Up with CJ, I have Michael Chiacos, who's a transportation specialist at the Community Environmental Council located in Santa Barbara. So our focus today is really how we move towards an alternative transportation and more fuel-efficient world. Welcome, Michael.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you here. I've been talking a lot to friends and family about this sustainable transportation and options. But tell us first, what is sustainable transportation? How would you define it?
Okay, well, before that, I'd really like to make it clear to your listeners that really it's about a choice. Transportation is really the largest environmental choice that we make each day. And, you know, when I see top 10 lists of environmental choices, and they have things like, you know, bringing bags to the store, unplugging your cell phone, in the same category as, you know, biking or trying to carpool, it really makes me a little upset, because really you could bring bags or unplug your cell phone for a year and it would be, you know, less reduction in environmental impact is just one maybe 20-mile round-trip commute to work. So transportation is really the largest environmental choice that we make each day. And when we're talking about sustainable transportation, I really think of it as a three-legged stool. So, and you have to have all three legs of the stool. The first one is more efficient cars. It's something that people have heard about, getting good gas mileage in your car, hybrids and clean diesels and electric cars. These are all examples of more efficient cars. The second leg would really be about better fuels. So, hey, can we power our cars with a lower carbon fuel or a fuel that has less environmental impact? But really the third leg and really critical is reducing how many miles we drive, or for the wonks out there, reducing vehicle miles traveled, VMT. And this is things like carpooling, taking the bus or the train to work, active transportation like walking and biking, and then not needing to drive as much, like, say, telecommuting or chaining your trips so that you run out and do all your errands at once rather than three separate trips.
Yeah, so I'm hearing, you know, it's really interesting because, you know, we do, there's so many different things bantering for our attention in terms of don't use these kind of bags and do this and that. But really, one of the personal decisions and things that we can do that can impact the environment the most is really driving less, right? Driving fewer miles, getting better cars. Those are kind of like the high impact choices that we can make. That's
exactly.
I never thought about it that way, but it's actually a good one to think about just in terms of prioritizing, right? Because it just seems like everyone's telling us to do this. Yeah, exactly.
To frame the whole conversation.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you think about, when you think about making different choices, so it's basic carpooling, training, train, walking, what else? I mean, where are we in terms of the U.S., in terms of where we are relative to other countries? Because I have a sense that we're way worse off than other countries.
Well,
is that true?
CJ, you're right. Yeah. Unfortunately, the what you call mode share, so this is the different way that people get around, for the alternative transportation is really low. It depends a lot depending on the city. But for transit or biking or walking, most cities are in the single digit rate. A lot of them may have 10 to 15% of people carpooling, which is good, because carpooling is really the easiest way to double your gas mileage. But most cities have, 80, 85% of people driving alone. So that's really what we want to reduce, is the amount of people driving alone. Or if they have to drive alone, get them into better cars. Some cities are different. You know, like in New York, there's a great subway system. There's much higher transit rates, and it's also because it's a lot. It costs a lot to own a car there, and parking's a real hassle. Other cities like Portland, Oregon, have done a lot with biking. Like in the downtown area, about 10% of all trips are done by bike. So, and that's been a concerted policy decision that they've made to just make it easier to bike. And then comparing to other countries, so we do have very cheap fuel costs here, and a lot of roads drive on. So we have a much higher dependence on driving alone. If you look at Europe, they have a much higher transit rate, a lot more biking. In the Netherlands, some cities have 30 to 40% of trips by bike, which is pretty amazing. If you look at the developing world, just by necessity, they have very low driving alone rates. My brother lives in Rio de Janeiro, and he can go out on the street, and there's a bus going wherever he wants to go within a minute or two because everybody takes transit. So there's just tons of transit going everywhere you want to go all the time.
Yeah, it's interesting. We were in the Netherlands this past summer, and it really is astounding. Everyone is on a bike. And it is, I mean, the 30 to 40% number, I can verify that it's true. And what's so interesting about the public transportation there is they have dedicated bike lines with, you know, where there's a lane that's protected on the right and left side where people are biking. And then they actually have different bike setups where they actually have like big carts where they take large items and they bike large items, because that's one of the biggest impediment for biking now. You're on your sleek bike and it's really hard to, you know, carry on your back like your PC or something. But they have these big boxes that they ride around.
Yeah, cargo bike.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, I was astounded. It was so, and it was, and you know what? People there just look healthier because they're riding
exactly.
a bike half the time.
That's a big part of the active transportation, and even taking transit, because if you take transit, you're going to be walking to the bus stop. You're going to be walking more than if you're just driving. So,
yeah,
it's a big part of it, transportation and health.
Yeah, it was amazing. So let's talk about health. What are the health issues related to the way that we commute right now?
Well, obesity, stress, you know, those are two of the main, you know, problems with driving alone. And then also the air pollution, the carbon dioxide, the health impacts, but there's also a lot of environmental impacts. I live about 100 miles away from Los Angeles, and in the 70s, the air quality there was so horrible that some days they'd say don't even go outside, or if you go outside, don't walk or exercise at all. And in the 70s, you actually had legislators proposing to ban internal combustion engines, gasoline engines, which is pretty crazy to think about. They didn't do that, and we really were able to clean up cars with the clean air laws. We've really cleaned up air pollution in our cities, although it's still pretty bad. And probably later we'll talk about some of the economic studies.
Do you remember being did you go into L.A. and what did it feel like? I mean, walking through the streets of L.A. when it was in one, or maybe you just avoided it altogether.
Well, I wasn't around in L.A. in the 70s, but I've heard many stories.
Yeah.
And so in addition to air quality, the carbon dioxide. So about a third of our greenhouse gases nationally come from transportation. In places like California, where I do most of my work, it's about 40% because we have a much cleaner electrical grid mostly. And that's leading to climate change, or one of my terms that I've been using a lot is global weirding. You know, you're having these tornadoes and floods, the heat waves in Russia, record snowfalls on the East Coast. Here in Santa Barbara, where I live, we've had four incredibly damaging wildfires in the last 2 years. When I was a kid, there used to be one a decade. And so there's, you don't want to pinpoint any specific weather event on climate change, but I think everybody can agree that we're just seeing much more extreme weather lately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the global weirding.
Yeah. And then also, transportation can really affect our land use decisions. So we have these flowing cities now where a lot of people are spending, you know, an hour driving to work and an hour driving back in traffic all the time. This is time they're not spending with their families. They're stressed out. And as we add more and more population, these freeways are just going to get more and more jammed, and we're going to have more problems. So we really need to find some solutions.
So that's why, I mean, let's go to the rural area, because I actually thinking about, when I was doing research on this, I definitely know that cities are doing a lot with respect to sustainable transportation. But there's also an issue of the rural areas and what they're doing, right? Because there's oftentimes a lot of, like you said, people are actually, instead of using the land for, natural reasons, they're filled with highways and all that. I mean, I never even thought about that as a sustainable transportation issue, but what specifically is the issue there, and how are people addressing it?
In terms of rural versus urban?
Yeah, in the rural areas and, building highways over large swaths of,
Yeah, I mean, basically, with the sprawling development patterns, you're instead of really having more compact development, where you could do infill development, you could build new housing in downtowns where it's easy to walk and bike. And this is the type of housing that's really in demand right now. You'll see with the housing crisis, like the exurbs, beyond the suburbs, most cities have them, and this is where housing prices have often dropped 40 or 50% because people just don't want to commute so far, and these were the last houses to be built. Whereas the downtown urban cores have maybe dropped 10, 20, 30%, a lot less, because people really want to live, particularly baby boomers and younger people want to live downtown, smaller areas where it's easier to choose alternative transportation. And so what this is helping to do is reshape our cities so that we're not sprawling out onto farmland or onto, national or forest lands. We're just making our whole cities as well as transportation patterns much more compact and less impactful. And also, when you don't have these sprawling developments, cities save a lot of money because they're not having to build these expensive roads or sewers and electrical lines, all this development that has to go out to serve the sprawling communities.
Right, all the resources that go into actually serving those and making those folks accessible to various areas.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
With the urban-rural divide, I mean, the cities have no choice. Like, in Los Angeles, there's some freeways that have 16 lanes. There's 8 lanes on each side. There's no shoulders at all, and there's just no more room to build anything unless they want to start knocking down big buildings, which would get very, very expensive. So they really have no choice but to get people out of their cars, and that's why their cities are investing a lot in alternative transportation, transit, walking, biking infrastructure. In the rural areas, it's harder.
I'm sorry, we need you to save that thought, because what we're going to do is we're going to take a break, and then we'll come back and talk about what kind of car you should buy. So we're going to go into one of the parts that you mentioned earlier. So Michael Chiakos, who leads the Community Environmental Council Transportation Program on Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Up next, what kind of car should you get, a hybrid, diesel, electric? You want to know more about Michael or listen to other shows like this? Check it out at www.firedupwithcj.com. We'll be right back.
She's real fine, my 409. She's real fine, my 409, my 409.
Bambusa Bamboo Products saves trees and reduces waste by providing a new material for bathroom tissue and baby wipes. Bambusa Bamboo Products offers the only tree-free 100% bamboo bathroom tissue and award-winning baby wipes made from ultra-soft bamboo-derived fibers. Using material from renewable bamboo is the ideal alternative for toilet paper and wet wipes. Call 866-996-2867 or visit bambusa.com.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Lower back pain can be a real pain in the, well, you know. The newly patented Vacupractor relieves that pain simply, inexpensively, and from the privacy of your own home for just $59.95. Listen to what Brad and Dottie have to say about their Vacupractors.
The Vacupractor is amazing. I've had back pain for so long, it's taking time to adjust to not having the pain there.
Each time I've used my Vacupractor, I've gotten instant relief. I would recommend anyone with stiffness and lower back pain give the Vacupractor a try.
Vacupractor is just a one-time cost of $59.95. And you can use it whenever you need in your own home. How does it work? Simple. The Vacupractor uses vacuum pressure. It stretches muscles, restoring proper nerve function and reducing the possibility of disc failure. Finally, a simple, effective treatment for lower back pain that really works.
For more information about the Vacupractor or to order yours, call 800-676-9320 or visit vacupractor.com.
Well, the midnight headlight, find you on a rainy night, speed grade up ahead, slow me down, making no time. I gotta keep rolling. Those windshield wipers, slapping out a tempo, keeping perfect rhythm.
Hello, everyone. In case you just joined in, I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Michael Chiakos, who leads the Community Environmental Council Transformation Program on Fired Up with CJ today. So we were in the previous segment, we were just talking about, different things that we can do personally to make better choices to protect the planet. And one of the things that you mentioned, Michael, was to get a different kind of car, to get one that gets better mileage. There's so many choices out there. And it seems like the reason why people are getting these cars, whether they're hybrids or anything else, is one is the fuel efficient part of it and hoping to get some cost savings in gas. And then the other is to really reduce carbon emissions and air pollution emissions. So I just wanted to look at those two dimensions when looking at the various choices out there. So when you're looking at a car, what are some of the cost drivers that you should be thinking about when you're looking for a car? If you really want to save, money.
Yeah. Well, people think just about gas a lot, but there's a lot more in, many fixed costs, such as insurance, tires and repairs, depreciation, registration and taxes, all these things. And actually, AAA does a study every year that they update, and they found in 2011 the average cost for having a new sedan, average car over 5 years, would be around, this is per year, $8,776 per year, or around 58.5 cents per mile. And this is just for average car. If you had a four-wheel drive SUV, it would be around $11,239. So it's expensive to have a car.
Can you go back? Is that the actual cost if you take into all those things, insurance, the cost of gas, the depreciation? That's what it is per year. Okay, got it. Thanks.
Yeah, exactly. So really, if people really want to save a lot of money and say they're a normal family with two cars, if they could become a one-car family, they might save, that $9,000 right there. So I'd say that's one of the easiest ways, but we can also talk about the various different, small efficient cars, hybrids, diesels, electrics, and compare them in terms of cost.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's take a look at all those different options. What's the cost? Look at that.
If people are really on a budget but do want to purchase a new car or a used car, really the small efficient cars are the cheapest and will save you the most money. There's a lot of small efficient cars right now that are very safe and also get 40 miles to the gallon on the freeway, like the new Chevy Cruze Eco, the Ford Fiesta, the Hyundai Elantra. And these are often around $15,000, so relatively affordable for a new car. They get over 40 miles to the gallon on the freeway, and then less in the city, though, so around 33 or 44 miles to the gallon combined, which compared to a Prius, which gets 50 miles to the gallon combined, is a lot less. But, hey, if you're doing a lot of freeway driving, getting 40 miles to the gallon is pretty good.
Yeah, but that's just cost alone. In terms of the environment, I mean, those cars pollute more because you're using regular gas engines, right?
Exactly, yeah. So the hybrids, hybrids are often people's best bet. There's over 20 models of hybrids now on the market in all shapes and sizes, everything from the Prius, which really gets best gas mileage at 50 miles to the gallon, But there's also all kinds of other cars. There's luxury cars. Lexus has a new CT200H that gets, I think, 43 miles to the gallon combined. And it's a luxury sedan. You have the Ford Escape Hybrid, which is a small SUV that gets 32 miles to the gallon combined. That's the same as, you know, the Chevy Cruze and Ford Fiesta that we were talking about. So there's basically hybrids in all shapes and sizes, and they're really the most fuel-efficient vehicles you can get right now. IntelliChoice, which is a market firm, did a study and found that most hybrids save money over a five-year ownership when you incorporate the gas savings. And interesting enough, hybrids often have cheaper insurance because insurance companies look at hybrid drivers and say, okay, those are responsible, they're a good bet. An interesting little statistic.
Wait, so you're saying if I own the – so how about if I own a hybrid over 5 years or one of those budget fuel-efficient cars like the Hyundai or the other ones that you mentioned?
Right.
I mean, is there – I mean, would I be indifferent if I'm planning on owning a car over 5 years, or is one better
than the
other?
Yeah, the hybrids over 5 years often will compete very favorably, especially with gas prices going up, against cars in their segment, so a midsize against a midsize. You know, these small, efficient, subcompact cars are usually going to be your cheapest bet all around if you just look at total cost of ownership. But they are going to have a higher environmental impact because you're using more fuel.
Right. And where are things like, okay, so it's at the cheapest in terms of if you just care about cost alone, it's the small fuel efficient cars. If you care, but so the next more most cost efficient way is the hybrid car, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then what's the third? Where do diesels and all the other ones fit within that?
Yeah, well, diesels and electrics. So diesels get around 35% better gas mileage than a comparable gasoline car. And half of that is from increased fuel efficiency, just the actual engine is more efficient. But then half of that, the other half is from there's more energy in a gallon of diesel than a gallon of gasoline. So many of the popular diesel cars like the Volkswagen Jetta or Golf get around 42 miles to the gallon on the freeway. Less in the city, so 34 combined, which is similar to the small efficient cars we were talking about, but these are larger vehicle, kind of more premium, because a lot of the diesels come from the European manufacturers. So Volkswagen, Audi both have some diesels that get over 40 miles to the gallon on the freeway. Then also BMW, Mercedes have some diesels that get much better gas mileage than a comparable gasoline car, but they're kind of a premium luxury car, so not great mileage.
Right. Okay. Got
with
it.
And
one thing I want to point out about the diesel too, because it seems like, is that cost comparison true? Because I know that diesel gas prices are usually higher than, diesel, the cost per gallon per diesel is higher, right? Than with.
Yeah.
Is that true?
In the last few years, diesel has been around 10% more. So here where I am, about $4.40 a gallon instead of $4 a gallon. So in the, you know, if a diesel costs 10% more, but you're getting 35% better gas mileage, you are saving money with the diesel.
Okay.
And then the last one was the electrics, which are really different. There's two new electric cars on the market now, the Chevy Volt, which is a plug-in hybrid, and we can talk about that, and then the Nissan Leaf, which is a pure electric vehicle. And those are much more expensive. But the cost per mile is really, really low. The New York Times actually just had an article that looked into how much it would cost to drive 100 miles in an Altima, Nissan Altima versus a Nissan Leaf. And for 100 miles, they found in the Altima, a gas-powered car, it would be $14.25. With the Leaf, it would only be $2.64. You know, much, much cheaper to drive an electric mile than a gasoline mile. And a big part of that is because electric cars are so efficient. Electric cars around 100 miles to the gallon equivalent, as well as they have cheaper maintenance, fewer moving parts. So that said, they have a very low cost for fuel, but they're much more expensive up front. The Volt retails around $42,000, the Leaf around $33,000. You get a federal tax credit, which is $7,500, as well as some states have state rebates, which are $5,000. So here in California, you could get a Leaf instead of $33,000, it would be $21,000, which is competitive, you know, less than a Prius or the Volkswagen, you know, diesel. And then you'll save a lot of money with actual daily driving.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tough decision because there's so many different variables. So in that particular case, if you were really concerned mostly about the, you know, environmental impact, by the time you get the rebates, you could be like, hey, maybe get a Vehicle or a Nissan Leaf versus the Prius. I mean, if you're primarily doing it for not only cost savings but also environmental impact,
yeah,
it seems
well, really,
like
a the electrics are a whole new ballgame. We say it's the biggest change in 100 years in the automotive industry because they're so much greener than any other car out there.
Yeah.
So, for example, the Nissan Leaf, and so there's these two electric vehicles on the market now. By the end of next year, there's going to be around a dozen electric vehicles on the market. So there's going to be a lot more choices, a lot more cars. But so you get around 100 miles to the gallon. Right there, you have a huge energy reduction because they're around three times more efficient than an internal combustion engine. But also, you're not using any foreign oil. You have no tailpipe emissions. So in a city, that's really important. And then on the national grid, they reduce greenhouse gases by around 30%. Here in California, where we have a very clean electrical grid, it's even better, 75%, a huge reduction in greenhouse gases. And electric vehicles also get cleaner as they age, and the grid gets cleaner, whereas internal combustion engines actually get dirtier as they age. An example is here in California, we have a renewable portfolio standard to get to 33% renewable energy like wind and solar and geothermal by 2020. And half of the states have renewable portfolio standards. So every state's going to get more renewables, less coal, cleaner grids over the years. And so the electric cars will get cleaner as they age.
Yeah. So one quick question. Actually, I don't think we have enough time for a question. Let me just see. Well, let me ask just one really quick question about, because we have 2 minutes left, about Priuses and having, you know, people saying, hey, you know what, those batteries are so toxic, so you really should not get a Prius or a hybrid car. What's your point of view on that? Is that true?
You know, it's really unfortunate. There's this cultural meme about a hybrid and the batteries are really toxic. And there's this one report like 5 years ago from a one-man auto industry consulting firm out of a small town in Oregon. And it's done more damage to hybrids than anything else because it was so widely reported in the media. You might have heard about it. It was the Prius versus the Hummer. And they said the Hummer is a better environmental choice. And really any scientist that looked at this study saw that it was extremely flawed. They used these data points like a Prius only gets 100,000 miles. A Hummer goes for 300,000. So therefore, we're going to like look at the impacts, you know, over 100,000 versus 300,000 miles. If you look at most life cycle analysis of vehicles, you'll see that 85 to 90% of the energy used and the environmental impact and the greenhouse gas is in the use phase, the 15 years of driving it.
Okay, we have 20 more seconds, so let's wrap it up. Sorry.
That's all right, yeah. Whereas 10 to 15% of the impact is in the actual manufacturer. So hybrids are a much better environmental choice than a regular car.
Redeemed. Okay, good. I drive a Prius, so I'm glad to hear that. Okay, Michael Giacos, who leads Community Environmental Council Transportation Program on the Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Up next, what's happening in terms of cities and what they're doing with respect to sustainable transportation? You want to know more about Michael or listen to other shows like this? Check it out at www.firedupwithcj.com. We'll be right back.
The best lane, surely make you lose your mind. Life in the fast lane.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Imagine you had a way to protect yourself from cancer, depression, and disease, and dispel the nastiest bugs that attempt to hide undetected. Take a moment to wonder, how good does that feel? How powerful. Did you know that enough golden sunlight produces vitamin D in your body to protect itself against disease? Producing enough vitamin D can kill cancer cells, reduce blood pressure and inflammation, and even help with weight loss. This amazing little vitamin is actually not a vitamin at all, but a powerhouse of protection that can activate your body's innate healing ability, but only if you have enough in your blood to shine the light. Tune in and listen to award-winning author Dr. Lucinda Messer share how you can harness the power of sunlight to create a healthy body and mind. Her book, Powerful Medicine Vitamin D, Shedding Light on a Worldwide Health Crisis, is like having a vitamin D expert on hand to answer all your health questions. For more information, visit PowerfulD.com. That's PowerfulD.com.
I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This segment on Fired Up with CJ, I have Michael Chiakos, who leads the Community Environmental Council Transportation Program. So what I really wanted to cover, it seems like there's so much happening on a local level. Cities doing some incredible things with respect to sustainable transportation. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, you know, what's up and current with respect to that. First of all, what when we talk about sustainable transportation and about cars, what are the other kind of alternatives that people have aside from driving alone?
Right. Well, active transportation is really important because, you know, like walking and biking, because it actually gets people moving and in shape. And there's a lot of things that cities can do to design their cities better so that they can encourage active transportation. And then transit, taking the bus or the train. Carpooling actually is one of the easiest ways that we can quickly, using our existing transportation infrastructure, reduce the amount of cars on the road. I like to say carpooling is the easiest way to double your gas mileage. You can do it tomorrow, and there's a car off the road, and you're getting much better gas mileage. And then telecommuting and ways to actually just not have to drive at all using technology.
Yeah.
So those are the main alternatives.
So who's doing some interesting stuff out there in terms of getting people to take public transit, whether it's like...
Well, we actually have a really cutting-edge program coming up called Dynamic Ride Sharing. And this is actually, instead of the normal 9-to-5 carpooling, which works great for people with that fixed schedule, doesn't work that great for people with dynamic schedules or who have changes in their schedule. So what we're doing is arranging on-demand carpooling using cell phones and the internet and technology. So you could actually send a text message and in the next few seconds get five people who are going the same direction as you're going and be able to ride share with them. And it is going to be integrated into Facebook so that you could say, oh, you know, three of these people are my Facebook friends and you know, make it safe and easy to.
So this is a Santa Barbara that you're doing.
Yeah, this is a pilot program that we got funded through the Federal Highway Administration. So it'll be really interesting to see how this goes. We're just starting it right now.
Yeah, that'd be really interesting. So how do you work around like having some psycho in your car?
Well, that's why we're trying to build, like, the social networking elements into it so that A lot of these are routes that you'll take every day, and hopefully there'll be people that you've carpooled with before, already know. You know, we're going to be working with large employers, with the universities, so that you may already know the person that you're hopping in the car with.
The psycho that you know from work.
Exactly.
Or hopefully not
a
psycho.
And that's the thing,
is
you can review all the people and just choose the one that you really want to get right.
Exactly. So. Ignore. Want to carpool? No, ignore. Okay, so that's really cool. Okay, what other kind of stuff in terms, is there anything else in terms of interesting public transit stuff, since that seems to be one of the, what, you
well,
know, one of the
cities everywhere ways. Are trying to build their public transportation infrastructure, and they're seeing increasing ridership with the high gas prices, but there's just not a lot of money out there right now. For biking, again, I'll point to Portland as the leader. They've really been able to increase the amount of people that are biking. And in fact, they have this new bike plan to spend $600 million by 2030 on biking. And people think that they're going to have a lot of success because they've had so much success in the past. And I want to point out $600 million by 2030 sounds like a lot of money, but biking and pedestrian trips in Portland are around 11% of their trips right now, but they're only spending about 6% of the transportation funding. So most of it is still going towards cars. Just the money you put towards bike and pedestrians can be very cost effective.
What are they doing? I mean, what are they doing with $600 million? What specifically would I see in Portland?
So probably a lot of things like what you saw in the Netherlands in terms of new bike boulevards, you know, connecting links where there might be a great bike lane and then there's a problem area for a block or two. So connecting those links, making new class one bike lanes, which are like bike trails that are separate from the road. So, yeah, bike plans and pedestrian master plans, combining biking and walking with transit, so multimodal options. Those are all some of the things that can make it easier. Yeah.
Yeah, so we were talking about walking. Who's doing some interesting stuff about pedestrian access and safety and encouraging more active walking or active transportation?
Well, a lot of cities are. I think some of the most interesting is the new Safe Routes to School programs that are popping up all around the country. And this is basically encouraging alternative transportation in schools. And if you think about it, 20, 50 years ago, almost all kids walked to school or biked to school.
Yeah.
And now
yeah.
almost all kids are driven to school, and this is really, anyone who lives by a school sees that there's these huge traffic problems by right around schools. So what they're
yes.
trying to do is encourage walking and biking to schools. You can have walking school buses or biking school buses. If a parent doesn't feel comfortable with having their kid walk to school alone, well, they could join up with five other neighborhood kids, and one parent each day of the week could have a walking or biking school bus to school. So those are some of the ideas
yeah,
that
I don't,
are
I, I'm sorry,
implemented.
I don't get, let's go back because I don't even understand what the concept is. So walking school bus, what does that mean? So I would walk like and pretend I have an imaginary bus and walk by, get on the bus.
Exactly. So if you didn't feel comfortable sending your third grader walking to school alone, you could get your third grader and you know, four other of their of your neighbors, and one parent could take the five kids walking to school every day just once a week so that they wouldn't have to do it every day. So that would be like a walking school bus. You could do the same thing with biking also.
Ah, okay, got it. So it's like one parent organizing and corralling and taking turns with other parents to get their kids.
Exactly, so that parents feel safe that there's some adult supervision.
I see. Oh, that's interesting. Okay, cool. Okay, so that's what the whole walking school
bus. Yeah, and I mean, anyone who is listening to your show could start a walking school bus. Just go around to the other neighbors they know and say, hey, let's start, you know, walking or biking our kids to school. We don't have to do it every day. We can each take a turn.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, so let's go back to I know we were talking earlier about the infrastructure choices that have to be made in cities and why you know they're doing less of that. What are the infrastructure changes that people are looking at with respect to transportation? And
well,
you know, yeah.
The main thing is just that you know, most cities are jam-packed. The capacity of freeways are totally full. They have increasing traffic. So we're seeing, instead of building new roads and new freeways, we really realize we can't kind of build our way out of the congestion, is that the emphasis is just on maintaining the existing roadways and then investing in alternative transportation and better transit and new bikeways. So I think this is a really good way for our transportation dollars to be spent.
Yeah. So do you mean making it better, making it easier to move people from one place to another?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. And I don't understand enough about these grids, because it seems like if, you know, ideally what we want to do is move everyone to electric, right, where there's 100 miles per gallon and all these different things. I mean, what would have to happen on an infrastructure level to make that happen? Because you'd need to plug in, you know, 8-10 hours a day to make that happen, right, to have a pure electric car.
Exactly. Now, the thing is, right now, most people have electricity at their house. So 90% of charging is going to happen at night when it's cheap, less impactful on the grid. You wake up every morning, you have a 100-mile range, which for 95% of most people's days is totally fine. Those days that you do want to go on a long trip, we need to have infrastructure of charging stations so that people with electric vehicles can fill up at them. So for right now, an electric car might be a solution for like a two-car household. They could have an electric car to do most of their daily commuting 95% of the time. If they want to go on a road trip, they have a different car.
Right.
Like with the Chevy Volt, though, it's actually a plug-in hybrid. So it gets around 40-mile range all electric. So most of your daily driving you can do all electric. But if you have to go farther, you have a gasoline backup. So the idea is that most people most days will just drive on electricity, but if you have to go on a longer trip, you can, use the hybrid motor. And in fact, I have a friend who's owned one for 3 months, and he says in 3 months he's only used 6 gallons of gasoline.
Wow. That's fascinating. What's the performance on those cars in terms of how many people can you fit in the car? Is it just like a 1-2 person kind of car?
I don't know. All the new electric vehicles, like I mentioned, there's going to be a dozen on the market by the end of next year. They're all 4 or 5 passenger vehicles. Very, very comparable to a normal vehicle, gasoline vehicle, and in fact even peppier, because electric vehicles have instant torque. You don't have to. There's no shifting involved. Where, you're kind of going up in your RPMs and then it backs off. Mm-hmm. You actually just press on the accelerator and it goes. So they have a lot of pep, all the electric vehicles do. So it's actually a better driving experience.
Yeah, interesting. So you don't have to get your diesel Mercedes to get performance out of a car.
Exactly. And then the cool thing, too, is like hybrids, they have regenerative braking. So when you brake, you're actually putting energy back into your batteries. So when you're braking, you're saving the energy rather than wasting it in heat and exhaust and all of that.
I have no idea what that means, but I think I get it.
You have it in your Prius, actually.
I do.
When you brake, you actually save the energy rather than having it be wasted as heat.
Not the braking. You're saying when I'm stopping, it's actually saving. Or is it? Okay, got it. Okay, interesting. All right, so we have 2 minutes left. Anything else that you want to share about what's interesting is happening on the city in terms of regulatory measures or planning measures to kind of create sustainable transportation? Any other interesting jewel to share?
Well, I think we talked about how a lot of cities now are looking at growing smarter rather than just larger. So they're really trying to do more denser infill projects, not really the sprawling development that we talked about that has expensive infrastructure with roads and sewers and all of that. And it's really interesting to see a lot of these kind of new urban smart growth developments are actually the ones that are really hot in a pretty slow real estate market.
Yeah.
So we're seeing these downtown infill projects selling a lot faster than traditional homes out in the suburbs.
Yeah. Same thing in Seattle. I mean, it is interesting how, you know, now instead of like having a 2-story building, the city is encouraging, you know, a 6-story building where you can actually fit more people, have more density.
Right, and that makes it easier for transit because you have, you know, more people living per, per square mile, as well as you can walk and bike places easier because you often, if you're living in a denser area, will have shopping nearby or restaurants or whatever it is. So it just makes it easier to use alternative transportation, whereas if you live out in the suburbs, you pretty much have to hop into your car to do anything.
Yeah, absolutely. Interesting. So Michael Chiakos, who leads a Community Environmental Council transportation program, I'm fired up with CGN and the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Up next, what are some simple ways to move towards that you can move to more sustainable transportation choice? You want to know more about Michael or listen to this or other shows? Check it out at www.firedupwithcj.com. We'll be right back.
Round, round, get around,
I get around,
yeah,
get around, round, round,
I get around,
I get around.
Do you dream of being on The Amazing Race? Well, here's your chance. Grab a friend and prepare for an exhilarating race around the city when City Solve Urban Race comes to your city. Teams of two will solve clues and face fun challenges while racing around the city. The winning team gets $300 and a chance to be in the Las Vegas Championship race to compete for a grand prize of $5,000. Not only will you have a ton of fun, you'll also be helping a good cause. A portion of the proceeds will benefit a local charity. To start racing, go to CitySolveUrbanRace.com.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
Get ready to feel more alive. Alive with a Deal brings you the truth behind things you experience every day, ways you can heal yourself, and choices that make you feel truly alive. A Deal is a true Renaissance man, a world-renowned yoga master, naturopathic doctor for 10 years, an attorney, and has degrees in physics, math, hypnotherapy, massage, operatic singing, plus he's an expert in green home building. Alive with a Deal discusses health for your body, from heartache to heartburn, your mind, from judgment to joy, your home, from cooking to color, and your spirit, so you can bring forth your talents hidden deep within. A Deal bravely discusses things most people wouldn't touch, delivered with compassion, integrity, and wit. Alive with A Deal is about your own healing so that you feel more alive. Tune in each Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on Transformation Talk Radio and Alternative Talk. Feel more alive. Alive with A Deal.
She's real fine, my 409. She's real fine, my 409.
Hi, I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This segment on Fired Up with CJ, Michael Chiakos, who leads the Community Environmental Council Transportation Program. Welcome back, Michael.
Hello.
Hi. So I wanted to talk about, I wanted to put a nice ribbon around this whole conversation and really focus on, you know, how can we as people move towards making better choices with respect to our transportation? If we, first of all, what do you want us to take away from the show as people who drive cars or have to move ourselves here and there? What are the three takeaways you want us to have?
Right. Well, really, the most important thing is to remember that transportation is the largest daily environmental choice most of us make, and to really think about how we get around. So choosing an alternative instead of driving, could you walk? Could you bike? Could you take transit? Could you carpool with someone? Could you telecommute instead, or chain your trips together so you don't have to do as much driving around? That's a really important thing to consider. If you have to drive, is there a different or better car that you could get? As we talked about during the show, the electric cars are really game changers in terms of the greenest cars out there. But also hybrids. There's a ton of different hybrids, over 20 different hybrids on the market right now, and a lot of them get much better gas mileage than a normal car. If you aren't wanting to spend as much money or buying a used car, there's a lot of small, fuel-efficient vehicles that are out there. There's going to be even more and more with the new federal mileage standards that are coming in. So there's a lot of choices out there for people.
Okay, how about in terms – so here's what I'm hearing. One, this is, and I'm just going to repeat what you said because I think it's really important. There are certain decisions that we make every day. How we transport ourselves is one of the best decisions that you can make, a thing that you can change that will impact the environment the most. That's what I'm hearing
exactly.
You say. That's your first point.
Exactly.
And maybe like your point one, two, and three. and then I hear like in terms of what we can do as individuals, once is, you know, look and see what you can do to choose an alternative transportation choice, whether it's walking or taking the bus, using public transportation, biking, or carpooling, as you repeated several times. It's a perfect way to cut your gas mileage in half. Doing telecommuting as well. And then, you know, if you were to take another step, the next step would be like, look at your, you know, if you can afford to see if you can actually buy a more small, efficient car, or if you can afford to even invest more. And if the protecting the planet is even more of a priority than getting a hybrid or an electric car. Those are kind of three steps that people can move in terms of making different transportation choices. But what do folks who don't have the money, what can they do in terms of just getting better gas mileage at when they're driving today? You know, not everyone can afford to get a new car in these economic times. So what can we do to just get better gas mileage?
Right. Well, the easiest thing to do is just drive like you have an egg under your accelerator. So I see so many people who are like, speeding up and then they brake right in front of a red light. You're just wasting energy when you do that. Or, you know, if you're going 90 miles an hour on the freeway, you're wasting a lot of energy. So, yeah, just having slow and consistent driving, you're going to get there just as fast as everybody else. And then, yeah, going 65 on the freeway rather than 80, 90 miles an hour will help save a lot of energy, help make your gas money go a lot farther.
And I've always wondered, because it used to be 55, now it's 65. Why? Is it new studies?
Well, it was
done?
65, and then during the energy crisis in the 70s and 80s, they lowered it to 55, because basically when you're moving, once you get up to 50 miles an hour, there's a lot more wind resistance. And as you get up to 60, 70, 80, it gets exponentially more wind resistant. So gas mileage drops down really quickly after 50 miles to the gallon.
So why not just keep it at 55? Why did they have to increase it then?
Well, people want to go places faster. So.
Oh, brother. Sorry, that's
try driving at 55 on the freeway, and you'll see what I mean. I mean, most people want to go
know,
at least 55,
I know, but
right?
Still, yeah. I mean, that's
we
like
could save a lot of energy by all driving 55. That's true.
I know. That's such a stupid thing. And now if you drive 55, I'm sure people find you irritating and honk at you. Give you dirty looks.
Especially if you're in your Prius, CJ.
That's true. All right. So, someone also told me about filling up your tires, right? Doesn't that make a difference as well in terms of your fuel efficiency?
Exactly. Yeah. So the most important thing you can do is just, drive more carefully and considerately and a little bit slower and without those jackrabbit starts. But yeah, you can also fill up your tires. Make sure to check your tires once a month and make sure they're at the recommended, level set by your manufacturer. You can also tune up your vehicle, make sure that it, you know, is firing on all cylinders and driving efficiently.
Yeah. Okay. And why tires? Why does that make a difference in tune-ups?
Well, there's a lot of rolling resistance. So we talked about air resistance and then mm-hmm. where your tires hit the road. If your tires, I mean, I don't know if you've ever had a wheelbarrow with a flat tire and you're pushing it and
yeah.
It's really hard to push, or a bike. And then mm-hmm. when you pump up your tires, it's actually a lot easier because you have less rolling resistance.
Interesting. Okay, and tune-up, I just assume, because the engine is more efficient, so you're
exactly.
making cars more fuel efficient?
Uh-huh.
Okay, excellent. Okay, so what are other resources out there if we wanted to actually start making changes? What are some other good resources
right.
out there?
Well, we were talking about three easy steps that everyone can take to move towards sustainable transportation. Really, one of the biggest things you could consider, and I know this might sound crazy for a lot of people, is to get rid of one car. If you're in a two-household car, you know, you get rid of one car, you could save $9,000 a year, according to AAA. That's what my girlfriend and I did. We recently went to a one-car household, and I find, it's made our relationship better. We're communicating more because, you know, we just have one car that we have to share. So get rid of one car. With your remaining car, you could consider electric vehicle or a hybrid, as we talked about. There's a lot of benefits to doing that. And then try an alternative transportation. When we've really found the biggest barrier is just to actually try it once. People say, oh, it might be cool to bike or take the bus to work, but and then they never really get around to trying it. But if you can make a commitment right now to say, hey, I'm going to bike for the next week, or I'm going to take the bus for the next week and just see how I like it, Oftentimes people actually do it for a week and say, hey, this is really nice. I love biking and being able to get some exercise and fresh air and, I love riding the bus because I can read the newspaper or, you know, check my Facebook on my phone as I go to work. So sometimes the biggest barrier is just actually trying the new behavior once.
Yeah, and I can actually attest to that because I actually, after I talked to, we had a show with Casey Gold, and he said, you know, just try. And so I started walking to, I mean, this sounds insane because I used to drive to my workout. It's just insane. It's insanely stupid, right? But now I actually walk. It takes 15 minutes. And you know what? I actually have a little pedometer, and I burn, 300 calories back and forth. So
I could either. And you don't have to do a warm-up when you get there.
I know. I do. And I was like, wait, this is insanely easy. I just basically, and it's hard because in Seattle it rains a lot, but I think, well, what's a raincoat for? So I walk over and I've burned 300 calories more per day. So it's a healthier thing. It takes 15 minutes. It really is not that big of a deal, but I think the key thing, as you said, is to try it because it's probably not half as bad as you think. And the thing that I've been thinking about is getting rid of one car. So I'm kind of, and that's a hard one because you get rid of it. It's hard to kind of get it back.
Cities can do is there's a lot of car sharing programs. So you could get rid of one car but join a car sharing membership. So if you do need a car once a week, once a month, you have access to it there.
You can rent them for a whole month, those cars, like the Zip cars and those kind of things.
You could rent it for a month, but it would be very expensive. I was saying if you just needed it once a month.
Well, my friend actually has a car in San Francisco and a car in Seattle, and she said, well, I'm trying to figure out if I should get rid of my other car, and I said, yes, just get rid of it, because she said, because it costs so much to actually maintain it, and she's only driving it like 3 or 4 times or once a month, and I thought, well, it probably would be cheaper to just rent a car even. I mean, it's kind of insane, but renting a car, if you could, would probably be better than even keeping a car if you really do need it for a period of time.
Yeah.
Have you and your girlfriend tried the Zip car or any of those kind of things? Do they work well?
Well, we actually have a friend who lives nearby that we kind of have an informal car sharing arrangement with, but we find we really only need to use his car every, once a month maybe at the most. Mostly it's because I bike everywhere and she gets the car. No, but then we find that we rearrange our schedules a little bit, or we do things in a little different way so that that we can share the car. And we're saving a lot of money, and we're both using alternative transportation more because of it.
Hey, $9,000 bucks, a lot of money.
Yeah,
you can go
definitely.
For a really nice vacation on that. So thank you so much. It's like chock full of information. So thank you so much for updating and educating us on sustainable transportation. And thank you to Chris, our station manager at WBLQ. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
You've been listening to Fire It Up with CJ. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for more of Fire It Up with CJ. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.